You're listening to The Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. Glad to have you along on this Saturday morning, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome to The Book Club at 91.7 an American author and aviator who has some great thrilling novels that I have loved for so many years, and a brand new one in bookstores right now. Dale Brown's latest novel is Iron Wolf. Dale, welcome to The Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
As I mentioned, I have a large stack of your books on my bookshelf. I've loved reading your books since the very first one back in 1987. Did you know back at that time with Patrick McClanahan that you'd still be writing of his adventures all these years later?
Oh, I never would have expected that. In fact, when I started book number three, I really believed I had a three-book contract when I first started writing. And I truly believe that nobody would buy a book past book number three of the contract. So Day of the Cheetah was going to be the transformational book. That was going to be my swan song, and I truly believed I wouldn't write after that. So I crashed the old dog and killed off most of the crew members.
Yes.
And then in the middle of writing that disaster novel, it was I got another book contract after that. So I never truly believed that after book number three would keep on going, and it's just hard to believe that it's been almost 30 years since Flight of the Old Dog. It's great, it's wonderful, and I have no plans on stopping either. I'm going to do it for another 20 years.
Good. Well, I always love how you keep Patrick and his son Brad and all the cohorts at Scion going. It's amazing how you also revealed not only some of the technology, military technology and tools that are out there now, but also some that are in development. And Iron Wolf is talking about the cybernetic infantry device, or a manned robot. That's kind of the central piece of equipment here in the new novel. How do you keep ahead with that technology that seems it might be in a black lab somewhere and we shouldn't be reading about it in your novels?
Well, that's one of the most enjoyable things about this business, is doing the research. You know, most of the reading I do nowadays, I used to read a lot of fiction. You know, probably one book a week. That's really gone by the wayside. I still do audio books, but most of the reading I do now is technical, and a lot of periodicals, a lot of research online about things that I'm interested in, which is new military technology. What's on the drawing boards? What's on the computer screens now that we could possibly see in the next 2 to 5 years? And I read about it, try to understand it, make a few phone calls, do a little bit more research, find out about it, and then start to incorporate that into plot lines dealing with things that are going on right now, geopolitical problems the United States is facing or could face in the near future, and then marry up the conflicts and the things that are going on right now with this new technology to figure out how this new stuff could affect conflicts in the future, how they could work out either for or against us. And that's what really motivates me to do this, doing the research, finding out what's coming on, and then figure out how we could use that in a conflict such as what's going on right now in Eastern Europe.
I was going to say, you ripped from the headlines a lot of what happens in Iron Wolf in the form of what's happening with Russia's incursion, if you may, into the Ukraine, taking over the eastern Ukraine, the worldwide geopolitical reaction to that, which has been fairly muted. And you bring up a lot of those points in Iron Wolf, that you examine all these issues, and it's kind of fun to see some of the solutions you come up with, because if you look at the real-life version of it, it can be very frustrating, and you got to throw your hands in the air and go, how is this ever going to work out?
Absolutely. And you mentioned it, you know, the response to what Russia's been doing has been muted. Well, that will cause the problems that I describe in Iron Wolf. Why are we not reacting to it? Ukraine used to be very closely allied with Russia, and I understand that, but now Ukraine is its own country, and they have their own government and their own place in the world right now, and Russia invaded it. And I understand that the Crimea was already heavily Russian, and you know, they had a large military contingent, so I wasn't too surprised about the invasion of Crimea, but for the rest of Eastern Europe, that muted response is just mind-boggling to me. You know, do people really believe that those soldiers out there in uniform, but with no rank or patches or insignia, are not frontline Russian troops? They are, and we're allowing that invasion to happen. And if we keep on stepping aside and melting into the background, eventually Russia's going to realize that there's no downside to them taking over the rest of Ukraine and then breaking down the NATO alliance and doing the same thing with countries like the Baltic states and that already have large Russian populations, such as Latvia, which is 40% Russian. So they could very well do the same thing, you know, continue to break down the NATO alliance, which is already underway, and then taking over a real NATO ally, and NATO and the United States are basically powerless to do anything about it.
Dale Brown is the author of Iron Wolf, a novel, the latest in his best-selling series about U.S. Air Force officer Patrick McClanahan. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And I have to say, Dale, I smiled a couple of times while reading Iron Wolf, because, you know, while it seems that things are slow to progress in real life when it comes to the situation with Russia and the Ukraine and NATO, you must have fun while you're writing the novel being able to take some of that frustration out.
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing about fiction. That's what you can do with fiction like that. If you don't tie yourself down to real-world events, to what's happening in the real world. And I think if a conflict does break out in Ukraine and countries like Poland get involved with it, I think things will advance very, very rapidly. That the technology is such that the pace of a conflict is not measured by how many miles you can travel in a tank or anything like that. It's going to happen very, very quickly. It'll probably start in cyberspace, could start in space by itself, but it'll advance at the speed of a supersonic aircraft. And the countries in Eastern Europe are very close to each other, and if war does break out, if a conflict does break out, then things will happen fast. And it's exciting to write about it. It's exciting to research it, and I just hope it doesn't happen. But we're setting ourselves up for such a disaster to take place if we don't take a leadership position.
I want to ask you, with Flight of the Old Dog, which I loved, and you know, you swept me in from the very beginning. I mean, I know I'm probably your demographic, your perfect audience when it comes to, you know, this type of book, because I love aviation and military things, thrillers. So you push a lot of my buttons as it goes along. But I'm curious how you made that transition from being an officer in the Air Force to an author. I mean, what was the catalyst back in, what was it, 1987 when Flight of the Old Dog came out?
1987, yep. I've always wanted to be a writer. You know, I wrote in the high school newspaper. I had a column at the Penn State University newspaper. I freelanced for many years. I wrote for the base newspapers, and I thought I would always be a nonfiction writer, writing for magazines or periodicals or for newspapers. And I just decided to give fiction a try when I was in the Air Force. Things were happening. You know, this was the height of the Cold War. Soviet premiers were dropping dead left and right, and nobody really knew whose finger was on the button. So things were, it was very exciting at the time to be a junior officer flying B-52 bombers and getting ready for World War III. And it was, so I decided I couldn't write about what we were doing with the B-52s, so I decided to fictionalize it. So that's how Flight of the Old Dog got started, and it just kept on going after that. But the things that were happening to me then, I wanted to re-experience that on paper, and that's what I did. And I wanted to tell the story about the U.S. Air Force. People even on a military base didn't know what we did with the B-52s. We'd have security guys who have been standing guard around B-52 bombers for years and had never been inside one. It was just mind-boggling to me that even military people didn't know what other military people were doing. So that's really what I wanted to write about. So writing has always been in my blood since I was a kid. And then the military and the technology that I was learning about and the experiences and the things that were happening in the world that I could have gotten involved with at a moment's notice just kind of meshed one day in my head. And And I started writing about, of course, every first novel is a fantasy autobiography.
Yes.
So that's exactly what Flight of the Old Dog was. The navigator is the only one in the country who can do the job, and he blasts off on a secret mission, and he accomplishes the mission, takes out the bad guys, saves the crew, and gets the girl at the end. So it's that's exactly what I wanted to do in real life, but I got to do it in the pages of Flight of the Old Dog, and I just no intention of stopping whatsoever. It was great.
Bestselling author Dale Brown, his newest in the Patrick McClanahan series is called Iron Wolf. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And, well, beyond killing so many off there in Day of the Dead, Cheetah, what's been the biggest challenge in keeping this series going through the years?
When I first started writing, everybody knew who the bad guys were, and, of course, we were the good guys. And it was the Soviet Union by far. I mean, no question, they were the bad guys. So there was really no challenge to picking who the bad guy in the story was going to be, and you didn't have to explain why we were fighting the Soviet Union, because everybody knew what it was. But when the Soviet Union broke up, the big bad guy wasn't there anymore, so you had to invent other bad guys. And then at the same time, when you started talking about different nations that used to be part of the Soviet Union, you had to spend a little bit more time in the story explaining why we are getting involved with the Czech Republic and why we're getting involved with these countries that no one really had heard of or couldn't find on a map. So that was a little bit of a challenge. You know, you had to get into the background of the characters and the stories and the geographical locations. But once I started to do a little bit more work in geopolitics and personalities abroad, you realize that all this is tied in. Designing the stories and coming up with the ideas became easier and easier because geopolitics sort of predicts what's going to happen in the world, that there's no secret to why Vladimir Putin is doing what he's doing, because every Russian Soviet president has been challenged to do the very same thing. If he's going to be successful, he's got to do what he's doing right now, and that happens all over the world. And once you understand that and realize it, the stories get easier to build after that.
Well, we only have a moment left, but I wanted to ask, I know I had so many questions for you, and some I won't dive into, but I'm curious what you get asked most often about your writing and about your books.
I think I get asked most often about what's next. Who's the next bad guy, or what do I think about, you know, the bad guys that are emerging? But they're looking at Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and they're saying, well, there's got to be a bunch of novels in there. But my focus has always been on the one country that can destroy the United States of America, and that's Russia. That hasn't changed for me over the years, and I'll continue to write about them. Now, I think a lot of countries are advancing, like China, but I think the big adversary, despite what oil prices do and what goes on over there, I think Russia is going to be the enemy for as long as I'm going to be writing for the next 25, 30 years. So I don't see any change in that, but they always want to know who the next bad guy is, or are you going to write about ISIS, or how do you stop ISIS? And I say, well, you know, ISIS is a factor, but I still point at Russia. We're going to have to deal with Russia. I don't know if there's going to be a fight involved with it, but I think we have to get ready for a fight, and we're not doing that right now.
Well, Dale, I appreciate your time, and always love the books. Keep them coming. I appreciate it.
I sure will. Thank you very much.
Dale Brown. His newest novel is Iron Wolf. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is The Book Club at 91.7.
Hi, I'm David Wecker from Alexandria, Kentucky, just now. I'm reading Love at Goon Park. And I don't know who the author is, I'm sorry, but it's a great book about how psychologists used to think we needed to treat children, and that was somewhat coldly. The hero of this book was a researcher who used monkeys to illustrate how children absolutely need affection, and it's so obvious now, but there was a time when there were orphanages where the instructions were don't touch the babies. And the foundlings and the babies usually just died on the vine. But this researcher changed all of that. So my mama loved me and she kissed me.
Hello, I'm Kate Lawrence from Mount Washington. Right now, I'm reading The Boys in the Boat by Daniel James Brown. It's the very inspiring story of the University of Washington's men's rowing team and their experience at the 1936 Berlin Olympics. It's interesting on so many levels. It goes into detail about the personal stories of the men on the rowing team and how they overcame huge adversity to get into the University of Washington, get onto the rowing team. And then it also gives the parallel story of the events in Nazi Germany that were leading up to the 1936 Berlin Olympics. So it's fascinating on a number of levels.